If you will turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3. Look with me at verse 22. John 3, 22. After these things came Jesus and His disciples into the land of Judea, and there He tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. This is speaking of John the Baptist. I mentioned him briefly this morning in Luke 1, verse 15. We're told concerning him, "He shall be great in the sight of the Lord." Then we're told, "Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God." John the Baptist was a faithful preacher of the gospel. And this man was thrown into prison, as we just read. He was thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. And not only that, the same man that threw him into prison, later he beheaded John again because of the gospel that he preached. And I can't help but think we sure have it easy in our day. We really do. And for that reason, I'm very thankful for all of those we read about who suffered great things. You think of Paul, how many times was he cast into prison for preaching the gospel, for preaching the good news? You think of many others, Stephen, John the Baptist. I thank God for these men. I thank God for John. Here in John 3, verse 25, "Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying." I don't know what this question is, so I'm not going to speculate. But it says it was about purifying, and I know this. When it comes to being pure before God, our purification is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Washing our hands before we eat does not make us holy before God. That's what the Jews, the Pharisees, that's what they thought. They had a problem. They came to the Lord and they said, "Do you know your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat? How terrible." Bless their hearts, they didn't know. And our Lord told them, "Here's the problem. You have an evil heart. Washing our hands don't make us holy. If we are to be pure before God, we must be washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 26, "And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him." John had disciples. He had some followers who went with him as he preached and baptized. And here are John's disciples. They heard that the Lord Jesus Christ, this one of whom John bare witness, that he was baptizing people. And actually, we read in John 4, it wasn't Christ who baptized, but it was his disciples. But nonetheless, John's disciples were confused. They didn't understand why men wanted to be baptized, but they weren't coming to John the Baptist. They just couldn't wrap their minds around it. And this is where we find my message. John's response to them. They were upset. They were confused. But in John's response, which takes us through the end of the chapter, we have the glorious gospel that he so faithfully declared. His response is truly wonderful. I've titled this John the Baptist Message. I've got the same message for you as our brother John. Look with me in verse 27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." What a response. He was not upset. He was not jealous like his disciples. He was not sad to hear that they were going to the Lord rather than him. If anything, I have no doubt John was glad to hear this. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians 4, verse 7. I mentioned this morning a good verse to memorize. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? I can just see John turning to his disciples and saying, God saved us. Who made you? I didn't make you to differ. God made us to differ. God saved us. God gave us this ministry. God put us in the ministry. It's His ministry. It's not about us. We're His disciples. I mentioned John's disciples. They were all the Lord's disciples. We're His followers. And I can see John telling them, brothers, our desire is not for men to follow us. I don't need a following. I'm not interested in a following. John's desire, and all the desire of all God's servants, all His preachers, and all His people, is that all men would come to Him. That's our desire, that all would come to Christ. They came to Christ to be baptized. They came to Him to be washed. And I love this verse. Psalm 51 verse 2 says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Recall when the Lord was washing His disciples' feet. And I suppose He washed them all, and then He came to Peter. And Peter, he was confused. He said, Lord, You're not going to wash my feet. He said, Peter, if I don't wash you, You're not going to be clean. You have no part with me. And he said, Lord, wash my feet and my hands and my head too. Wash me thoroughly. We must be washed in Christ. Back in our text, John 3, verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Salvation is the gift of God. Faith, to believe on Christ, is the gift of God. Eternal life is the gift of God. And this is His ministry. Verse 28. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before Him. Here John reiterates the fact that he's not the Christ, nor is he in competition with Him. He made it very clear what his mission was. That was to point men and women to Christ. Turn over with me to John chapter 1. John 1 verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. That's Christ. That all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John was sent of God to point men to the light. We're in darkness. We need to be pointed to the light. God just might call us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That marvelous light might just shine in our hearts. Verse 15. John bare witness of Him, and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Again, we saw this morning that John the Baptist, he came into this world 6 months before Christ. And this man, John, he was prophesied of in the Old Testament that he would prepare the way of the Lord, that he would come before him. And that's why he came. John 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I'm not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elijah?" And he saith, "I'm not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And I love his answer. Verse 23. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latched I'm not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. They said, "Who are you? What is your name? Who are you? If you're not the Christ, tell us, who are you?" He said, "I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness." And that is true of every man who stands to preach the Word of God. We're just a voice. We're nobody. That famous quote of Brother Scott Richardson, "A preacher is a nobody who tells everybody about somebody," capital S, "who can save anybody." John would have said, "Amen, Brother Scott." Amen. He said, "There stands one among you whom you know not. He it is. He it is." Verse 30. I'm sorry, verse 29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not," and what he means by that is he didn't yet know him in the flesh. "I knew him not, but that he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." By God's grace, John the Baptist was a humble and faithful gospel preacher. His only goal was to point you to Christ. That's my goal too. It's the only thing I'm here for, to point us to Christ. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God." I'm here to say, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold Him, and behold what He hath done." Back in our text, John 3, verse 28, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before Him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." The Lord Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. And I love that John gave this illustration. The bride is God's elect, whom Christ came to save. And notice at the beginning of verse 29, notice the wording. "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom." Christ has His bride. He has her. He made her. "Thine maker is thine husband." And He bought her. We're bought with a price. The precious blood of Christ. "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom," that's John, "the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled." What an honor it is to be called His friend. Just think about that. The fact that He calls His people His friends. That He is the friend of publicans and sinners. I tell you what, He's our friend, isn't He? Our friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You may say, I have no friends. We have one friend. We have one friend. And John himself being the friend of the bridegroom, he said, I'm content just to stand there beside Him and hear His voice. Would you be content to do that? Are you interested in hearing His voice? If we hear His voice today, then like John, I promise our joy is going to be fulfilled. That's my desire, that we might hear His voice. Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth. John 3, verse 30. John said, He must increase, but I must decrease. We read that John, he too would be great in the sight of the Lord. But he didn't desire greatness. None of God's people do. We don't desire greatness. His desire was to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, our Lord said concerning John, He said, of all they that are born among women, there's not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. And then He said, he that's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. What did He mean by that? We're to acknowledge that John was a great, faithful man of God. But in God's kingdom, we're all one. There's not degrees of reward in heaven. Christ is our reward. We're one. We're equals in Him. John, he did not desire greatness. He did not care if people knew His name. He just wanted people to know His name, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted people to know Him and be saved. He must increase. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must be exalted. I must be abased. He must be worshipped. We come here to worship Him, don't we? I pray that we have. I believe we have. He's to be praised, honored, and glorified, and only Him. I pray that is truly our desire. I really do. Verse 31 says, He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Here we see another vast difference between John and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is from above. Above all. Jesus Christ is God. God in human flesh. Heaven is His throne. The earth is His footstool. We are of the earth. Earthly. That means we're nothing special. We're nothing special. But there is a people who are special in the sight of God. Those who have been born of God, born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. I pray that that might be us. Verse 32. And what He hath seen and heard, that He testifieth. And no man receiveth His testimony. What do we preach? Week in and week out, what do we come here to preach? We preach that which we have seen and heard. That's all we can preach. Over in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, they had healed an impotent man. And again, the religious people, they were hounding them, saying, by what name have you healed this man? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. By His name does this man stand before you whole. And those religious Jews, they'd have killed him right there if they could. But no, God wouldn't let them do that. So here's what they were resolved to do. They said, we command you. You're not going to speak in His name anymore. You're not going to speak in the name of Jesus of Nazareth anymore. And I love what their response was. They said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. People use that phrase, don't shoot the messenger, I'm just the messenger. Well, look what we did to Christ, the message. Our Lord told us, if the world hates us, don't be surprised. It hated me before it hated you. I just read, "Where of the earth?" He said, "I've chosen you out of the world. You're not of the world. You're born of God." All that a faithful witness can speak is what God has been pleased to reveal. All I can stand here and tell you is what God has done for me. I'm not going to try to do anything else. I'm not here to tell you something new. It's the same old story. The same old story. The Lord Jesus Himself is said to be the faithful witness. And though He is the faithful witness, we just read it, no man receiveth His testimony. Look here in John 3, look up at verse 9. Here another religious man, he had come to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "You must be born again. You must be born again." And he just didn't understand. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" This man was a Pharisee. He was a religious leader. And he had no idea how a man could enter into the kingdom of God. He knew nothing about being born again. He knew nothing about the Spirit of God dwelling in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" Verse 11, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee," this is our Lord speaking, "we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." This is true of all men and women by nature. We do not receive God's witness. God sends a gospel preacher. We do not believe. God gives us His Word. We can read it every day. And we don't believe. We don't know Christ. Why? "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." The things of God must be revealed. Who hath believed our report? Those to whom the arm of the Lord Jesus Christ has been revealed. John 3, look down at verse 32 again. "And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true." Wow, hold on. Is that a contradiction? I thought no man receiveth his testimony. That's right. Well then, who hath received His testimony? Those to whom God has revealed His testimony. Christ. Turn over to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 25. "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight." Christ must be revealed. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. He was a very religious man. He was a religious leader. In the world's eyes, he was highly esteemed, but that means he was an abomination in the sight of God. But God. He tells us in Galatians 1 what happened to him, how he was saved. He said, "But when it pleased God." That's when. "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me." Not a moment sooner will we be able to understand the Word of God. Not a moment sooner will we be able to believe God until Christ is revealed to us and in us. Look back at John 3, verse 33. "He that hath received His testimony hath set to his seal that God is true." If God has given us faith in Christ, we can confirm God is true. "Let God be true and every man a liar." We confess our sin. Just look at yourself in the mirror long enough. It's ever before us, isn't it? Live with yourself for a couple days. Just one day. Our sin is ever before us. We acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge that all our religion, All our life we've lived in vain. It's all been for nothing, wasted. That's what Paul said. He counted it all done. We confess that if left to ourselves, we have no hope. Yep, my sin separated me from God, and I deserve to die in my sins, and I will die in my sins, except God did something for me.
Yeah.
But there's one thing we know. God has given us faith in Christ. We confess those things, and we confess this. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We can confirm that. We can set to our seal that that is true, that God is true. How do we confirm that? Because we can't help but believe Him. And don't think for a second that I'm here to brag on my faith or any of our faith. That's not what I'm saying. Don't you find it? Aren't you ever just amazed at the fact that week after week, you're still here? It wasn't that long ago. Well, this was the, well, not this, but the church I'm from that preaches the gospel. That was the last place I ever wanted to step foot in. What happened? But God. Why do we desire to come in here and worship Him? Why aren't we just consumed with ourselves? Aren't we naturally consumed with ourselves? We just celebrated Christmas. Bought some gifts. If I'm honest, I about guarantee you I spent more money on myself than anybody else combined. That's the way of this flesh. Why do we have a desire at all to praise Him? Praise Him, praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Why are we constrained by the love of Christ? Why do we come here? Why do we worship Him? Why do we pray to Him? Why do we feel in need of Him? Because He has saved us. He has revealed Himself to us. He's made known the riches of His grace in Christ Jesus. I didn't do anything. I just found myself believing. I find myself believing. My faith is so weak, but He is able. Praise God, He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. Jesus Christ is the one whom God has sent. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Every time the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, God spoke. He is God. He is the Word of God. And not only that, all of God's messengers whom He sends, including our brother John the Baptist, speak the words of God. If God has sent us, He has promised to speak through us, through His Word. He said, it shall not return unto me void. I love what He told Jeremiah. He said, well, first He told Jeremiah, He said, I've ordained you a prophet. That's the first thing. God's got to send us. He's got to ordain us. He's got to raise us up. He said, you're going to go and you're going to preach. The first thing Jeremiah said, he said, I can't speak. I'm a child. And he said, say not, I'm a child. Here's what he said. Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. I read this morning right before I got up to speak, knowing it's a fearful thing to get up here. It's a fearful thing to stand and speak on behalf of God. And I just thought to myself, Lord, I pray you sent me. Behold, you shall go to all that I shall send thee. You prepare a message, you wonder, where do I go? What's the message? What do I need to preach? We know it's Christ, but you still got to find a text. You still got to have an outline. Whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And not only that, he went on to say, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. If you ever stand to speak, that'll give you great comfort. Great comfort. Verse 34 again. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. You see, God gives the Spirit by measure unto us. He gives the Spirit by measure. but not to Christ. I love what Matthew Henry said. He said, "The Spirit was not in Christ as in a vessel, but as in a fountain, as in a bottomless ocean." See, all the fullness of God dwells in Him. All things are His. And we'll read that in the very next verse. Verse 35, "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand." Now, if you don't get anything else out of this message, please be sure you get this. Look at verse 35 again with me. "The Father loveth the Son." The Father loveth the Son. And only the Son. "The Father spoke from heaven, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" God only loves His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. God does not love sinners. Hold on, I thought He did. God only loves sinners whose sin has been put away. You read it, Psalm 5, verse 5. "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." The only way God can love someone like me is in Christ. In Christ. I've got to be in Christ. God only loves the sinner in Christ. And if God has put us in Christ, if we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, here's what God's love is for us. He said, "I've loved thee with an everlasting love. I've always loved you. And I'm always going to love you." We read in Romans 8, "Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." God's love is eternal. God's love is particular. And praise the Lord, His love is effectual. His love saves. His love's not like our love. "The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand." John 17 verse 2 says, "Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." John 5:22 says, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." We're going to stand before the Son. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to judge us. And turn over with me to Colossians 1. Colossians 1:16. "For by Him," that is by Christ, "were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hand. Back in our text, verse 36, we have the conclusion of John's message. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." This is the only thing in this world of any importance. This is eternal life or eternal death. There is a real place called hell, separation from God. And it is eternal. And what hell is punishment of sin. And that's what we all deserve. There's a real place there, and many people go there. And it's forever. The reason it's forever is because me suffering from my sin could never satisfy God's justice to where He said, enough. Christ is the only one who could satisfy, and He satisfied. I pray that God would cause each soul here to hear His Word. Oh, Lord, help me to hear Your Word. We'll close with this. Turn over to 1 John 5. Verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that believeth on the Son. It doesn't matter what we have. You can have all the money in the world. I would like more money. Really. But that does not matter. God will provide. He always has. He always will. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him forever. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Have you seen John's message? Have you seen his message? John the Baptist had one purpose in life, and it was not to baptize. It was to preach the gospel. He preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. He preached Christ crucified. And not like him and like Paul, I'm determined not to know anything else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. May God give us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Amen.
Thank you, our brother. Again, another gospel message. How wonderful. How wonderful. 129 in your hymnal. Let's sing it as we close tonight. 129. We'll not do the chorus, just the stanzas.